out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 16th of November, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, all the excitement over here in Britain at the moment is about Brexit, as I was referring to at the beginning of yesterday's podcast. And it's all basically because Theresa May has finally unveiled her plans for what Brexit will entail. And nobody supports it. Absolutely nobody. She's got nobody in her own party that appears to be supporting it. Nobody in the other parties in the United Kingdom are supporting it. The public think it's absolutely ridiculous. So she's managed to Basically, she's managed to alienate all the Remainers and all the Brexiteers as well, all the Leavers. I mean, it's really quite some feat to upset both parties. Nobody is happy with this deal that she's produced. And it's absolutely predictable that this is what she would do. I mean, she never wanted to leave the EU in the first place. She wanted to stay. She was never properly elected as Prime Minister. She was just put in there because there was nobody else to do the job when David Cameron stepped down. She called an election in her arrogance, thinking that she was so great and wonderful that so many people in the country would vote for her, and she lost loads of seats. She lost so many seats. The Conservative Party lost so many seats that they didn't even have a majority. The only way they could actually get a majority to get anything passed in Parliament was if they did a deal with the DUP, the Northern Ireland Party. And even then, they've only got a majority of about two. And now she's insisting that she's going to push this Brexit deal through, even though she hasn't got a majority, and even though all the other parties are against it, and her own party are against it. The arrogance of this woman is just incredible to see. She did a press conference yesterday insisting that she will push this Brexit deal through no matter what. I guess she thinks that her own party won't actually go through with it and make her step down. It looks like they've only got one or two letters to go. I mean, basically, the procedure is that if people in the party, members of the Conservative Party, if they don't have confidence in her leadership, then they send in a letter saying, I do not have confidence in your leadership. And we thought that it was the final letter yesterday when Jacob Rees-Mogg sent his letter in. But apparently they still need more. People were hoping that Michael Gove was going to send a letter in today, but apparently he hasn't yet. But it is all right on the knife edge. You would think that the woman would step down. And she set up a Brexit study group that were tasked with preparing a deal to offer to the EU. And the Conservative Party made all these promises of what this deal would entail. And the people that were working on the deal kept to what the Conservative Party had promised, that we would be properly leaving, we'd be leaving the customs union, we'd have control of our borders, we'd have control of our laws. And the people in this Brexit group, the Brexit secretary, I think his name was Fox, that was his surname, and they worked out a deal. And then Theresa May went over the heads of the people that had made this deal and announced that she had another deal that she was doing, that she'd been working on. So the whole of this Brexit study group was just a cover while she worked on something else, while she worked on keeping us in the EU. So naturally, the ministers that worked in this Brexit group that were supposed to be working on the deal, they resigned and said, look, we can't have this. How dare you do this? And that was quite a while back that happened. And now what she's done, she's presented this deal that she's worked on that has supposedly was being worked on with the new Brexit study group, because once the Minister for Brexit had resigned, she obviously had to find a new team to work on Brexit. So she got a new team to work on it and to work on her deal. And even her own new team have now resigned. The Brexit secretary has resigned. A Brexit secretary that wanted to stay in the EU even doesn't agree with her deal. So she's basically pissed everybody off in the whole country. And yet her arrogance is so much that she is still stood there thinking that she has the support of the people. I can only guess that she's just obeying orders. She's been given orders from the EU, being given orders from the bankers. You must do this. And she's just going ahead and doing it. I don't think she knows how to lead. The idea of not having people in the EU telling her what to do must be terrifying for her. And women aren't good at leading. That's not their natural role. Their natural role is supporting men. That's their natural role. And they're certainly not deal makers. And this is a fact. The feminists are always going on about how women don't get the same wages as men because they're no good at doing deals. And yet here we have our supposed best minister, our prime minister, is a woman, and she's supposed to be doing this very, very important deal with the EU. We need a man to be doing this deal, and we need a man that believes in leaving the European Union. Theresa May wants to punish the country. She wants to punish the country for voting in the wrong way, and it's not just her that wants to do that. All the politicians want to do that are on the leave side. You can see just from the language that they use, they keep talking about having another referendum. Only they don't call it another referendum. They call it a people's vote. And what that implies is that the people that voted to leave in the last one, they weren't actually people. They're subhumans. The people that wanted to leave the EU, they're subhumans. And the only people that are really people are the ones that want to stay in the EU. The ones that want to have another vote, the ones that want to have another crack at it. They're the only real people in Britain. And it's so offensive. The people voted. The whole country voted. And 17.6 million voted to leave the EU. And even more of us want to leave the EU now, after seeing the way that they have treated us and seen all the dirty tricks that they've been playing. If they were to hold another referendum now, more people would vote to leave. I'm certain of that. But anyway, let's have a look at what the newspapers have to say about this yesterday. And this one comes from The Express. Britain's issued a damning forecast for the future of Theresa May after the Prime Minister faced an avalanche of resignations from her cabinet over the draft Brexit withdrawal deal that she has agreed to with the European Union. And it wasn't just an avalanche of resignations from her cabinet either. It was resignations all over the place. The vice chairperson of the Conservative Party, they've stepped down. The Secretary for Work and Pensions, they've stepped down. I say the Brexit secretary has stepped down. I mean, people in her cabinet, the people that she picked, her closest team, a lot of them have resigned. And then you've also got people that are just part of the government anyway, that they've resigned as well. And people that help out these MPs, they've said, look, we cannot back this. We cannot have anything to do with this. And Jacob Rees-Mogg has pointed out that it basically goes against every promise that the Conservative Party made. And Jacob Rees-Mogg, I mean, he's a pretty decent person. He's not a nationalist. He is a traditionalist. But I think he is a man of his word. And he obviously wants to keep his word. He believes in the Conservative Party. And what he sees going on here is them going back on their word and they're not being honest. I mean, the man does have integrity. I would very much like to see him as Prime Minister, but I doubt whether he'd put himself forward. And I'm also concerned because he's a Catholic, and we may have laws in Britain actually to prevent a Catholic becoming Prime Minister. Nobody's actually mentioned that. Tony Blair, he became a Catholic after he had been Prime Minister. And he was, I believe he was baptised in the Jordan, probably by a rabbi. But he was baptised in the Jordan as a Catholic after the Iraq War. And I think the reasoning for that was that he couldn't do it while he was Prime Minister, because there may be a law against Catholics being Prime Minister, which would prevent Jacob Rees-Mogg from taking that role. But I would very much like to see him in that role. So lots of people have resigned anyway. Theresa May saw two front benchers and three ministers resign their posts less than 24 hours since she claimed the cabinet had backed her Brexit proposal. And that was exactly the same as last time. It was called the Chequers deal, the last time this happened, which was when she got all the government together, well, all the Conservative Party together at her Chequers retreat. I think it was at 9 p.m. or something like that. And they all went into this Chequers retreat, and she revealed this deal that she'd set up. And when they came out, she said, "Oh yes, everybody's behind it. We're all backing this." And the very next day, there was a stream of people that resigned. And it was at the Chequers retreat when it was revealed to all the people that had been working on a Brexit deal that had just been a cover story, and that she'd been working on a separate one in the background that nobody else knew about. So we're basically having a repeat of that now, only hopefully this time it's really going to be the final nails in her coffin. Several of the ministers cited fears of breaking up the United Kingdom as a leading cause for turning in their resignation. This seems to be the main point that they're making, is that this deal basically says that Northern Ireland will be separate to the rest of the country, which Northern Ireland don't want to happen. Northern Ireland is a part of the United Kingdom. They don't want to be a part of Ireland. This was a very important part of the Good Friday Agreement that put a stop to the troubles in Ireland. And they don't want to lose that through the back door. They want to be a part of the United Kingdom, and they have every right to be a part of the United Kingdom. So this deal that Theresa May's done, which will lead to the breaking up of that, is a very serious matter. So of course people are resigning. And that was a promise that she made, that would not happen. It was one of the promises she made to the country when she was campaigning to be elected as Prime Minister again. That's one of the promises that Jacob Rees-Mogg has pointed out that she's broken. There are reports of growing numbers of no-confidence letters being presented to the backbenchers' 1922 committee, which have triggered rumours of an incoming vote of no-confidence in Mrs. May. And this is what was happening yesterday. So she gave a press conference while all this was happening, which I think most people thought she was going to give this press conference and say, "Well, look, I've tried my best, I'm going to have to step down, and there'd be a leadership challenge." But no, she just pretended none of this was going on. Said, "Oh yes, everybody agrees with me. If people want to leave, they can leave. I'm going to push this through. I'm going to push this through, regardless of all the advice I've received from people that know what they're talking about. I'm just going to ignore all that and push this through." And that was the gist of what she had to say, basically. She arrogantly just ignored all the discontent and insisted that she would not be stepping down. And that address came right after the ex-Brexit secretary, Dominic Raab, he's the one that stepped down yesterday, gave his first interview since resigning, piling even more pressure on Mrs. May. The former Brexit secretary accused the European Union of blackmail over Britain's draft Brexit agreement with the single bloc. And it is blackmail. That is what the EU is doing. What we should have done the day after the referendum, they should have said, "Right, we're leaving. We're leaving tomorrow. We're leaving on world trade terms," which is what they keep talking about. When they keep saying, "Oh, it's this deal or no deal," it's not this deal or no deal. It's arranging this deal or arranging a deal, or it's leaving on world trade terms. And world trade terms, that's what the rest of the world uses for trade with other countries. There's nothing wrong with that. And that would be a framework for dealing with other countries. And then what you would do is you would make your own individual agreements as you went along. So you would have world trade terms with Germany. And straight away, Germany would say, well, we can think of a better way of doing this. You have lots of our cars. We have lots of your milk or whatever it is. So let's do a deal with this that cuts out the amount of taxes that are put on top of it. So you would end up doing individual deals with countries, but your framework that you would start off with was world trade terms. That's what those terms were invented for, so that the world could trade with one another. So there's no problem with doing that, and that's what they should have done. Instead of doing that, Theresa May thought, well, what she will do is bluster for time, pretend to the country that there is actually this Brexit secretary that's looking at making a deal, while in the background, she would do what she's told to do by the EU and come out with, because don't forget she's had 2 years to work on this, 2 years to work on a deal that meant that Britain didn't actually leave the EU, it just left the EU in name, and all the reasons for why we wanted to leave are still there. That's what's happened. That's what she's been doing for the last 2 years. It's all been a cover story that this deal is being worked out. And what they should have done is just left. Esther McVeigh heaped more pressure on Mrs. May by quitting as Work and Pension Secretary shortly after Mr. Raab resigned. Jacob Rees-Mogg has added to the Prime Minister's misery by tabling a letter of no confidence in Mrs. May as rumours grew of an imminent vote on her leadership. Meanwhile, Environment Secretary Michael Gove has been offered the role of Brexit Secretary, but will reportedly only accept the job if he is given free rein to scrap Mrs. May's draft deal and reopen negotiations with Brussels. And Michael Gove is the one that I hoped was going to win the election. When it was a choice between Michael Gove, Boris Johnson and Theresa May, it was Michael Gove that I wanted to get in there. I mean, Michael Gove, he's a rabid Zionist, but he is at least a conservative. We would probably actually see control of our borders and a lessening in the Islamization of the country if we did have Michael Gove as Prime Minister. Boris Johnson, he would be better than Theresa May, and he's Turkish. I mean, the guy's Turkish, but he'd still be better than Theresa May. I mean, we're just going to make the best of a bad lot here, and the best of a bad lot really would be Jacob Rees-Mogg. Well, let's have a look at some of what's actually in this deal, because it's quite incredible that she would think that she could actually get away with this. I mean, the first part that strikes you about this, because somebody's actually gone through this, I mean, the deal itself is hundreds of pages long, and it's going to take a long time for the lawyers to actually go through. But there is an article where somebody has gone through it and picked out some of the important points. And one of the most important ones is that the transition period goes on until the 31st of December 2098. So almost 100 years before we actually leave the European Union. And that's according to Article 126. So they can adopt it says that they may, before the 1st of July 2020, adopt a single decision extending the transition period up to 31st of December 2098. So 100 years before we actually leave. On top of that, it would leave the United Kingdom locked into the European Court of Human Rights. And this is something that we were promised we would be leaving the European Court of Human Rights. It's the European Court of Human Rights that says that we have to open up our borders and accept all these asylum seekers and accept all these third world into our country. Nobody wants that. It's the European Court of Human Rights that forces that upon us. And this deal that she's done keeps us locked in to the European Court of Human Rights. We were told that we would be making our own laws. We would have our own sovereignty. That was promised to us. And this deal does away with all of that. A couple of rather important quotes are deep regulatory and customs cooperation and a single customs territory. Well, this is exactly what we were told we were getting away from. We were told we would no longer be part of the customs union. I mean, that's what the European Union began as. It began as a customs union. That's what the British people were told. We were told we're just joining a customs union. That's all it is. It's not a political entity. As soon as we had joined that customs union, it became a political entity and started making our laws for us. It was given its own flag, and now we're at the stage where it's trying to sort out its own army. But the most basic form that the European Union has is as a single customs territory. So this deal keeps us as a single customs territory, and it keeps us locked in with the same regulations and the same customs deals that we had before. Only this time, because we're not actually a part of the European Union, we don't actually have any say in how it's operated. So what this deal does is it puts us in an even worse situation than if we were in the EU. At least while we are in the EU, there is window dressing of us actually having some say in the operation of it. That isn't the way that it actually works, because you have a committee that just tells the European Union what they're going to do. And the Euro MPs don't have any say at all. They get 5 minutes to say something, but they don't actually have any role in voting on anything. They just have to accept what is put before them, basically. So this is a total fraud, basically, telling us that we are leaving the EU and this is the only way to do it. It's a complete fraud. The assertion is made that the UK will become an independent coastal state, which means it would have control over its own waters. But then it doesn't actually define what is meant by future shared stocks, leaving the UK's territorial waters on the table. And there is also no clarity on the intended mechanism for actually managing them. This is a bit of an issue, as it appears to concede future arrangements will freely give foreign trawlers quota shares of what is a UK national asset, and we wouldn't have any say in it. So they're saying, well, we'll still keep this fisheries agreement, which infuriates the British fishermen, because they're being told when they catch all this fish, if they've already caught their quota, and they've got, say they've already caught their quota of cod, and they pull their nets up and it's full of cod, they've got to throw all those cod back into the sea, dead. It's so incredibly wasteful, this quota system. We've got plenty of fish off the shores of Britain, and half of it, or three quarters of it, ends up having to be thrown back dead because of this quota system. And the trawlers, the foreign trawlers, because of the EU deal, are allowed to trawl right up to, practically right up to our beaches. And this is what the fishermen want to do away with. And we were promised that they would do away with it. They would do away with these quotas. And they haven't. They haven't. What they've said is that the EU can decide it. Once we've actually left, the EU can decide it. It also appears to concede that there will be a long-term role for the Court of Justice of the European Union in UK participation on JHA issues. So again, another part of the legal system that we won't actually be leaving. On defence, the long-term ambition is collaboration on relevant current and future projects of the European Defence Agency through an administrative arrangement. So it locks us into future projects of the European Union Defence Agency, which is nothing to do with us. Participation in European Defence Fund-supported projects and collaboration in permanent structured cooperation projects were invited on an exceptional basis under the conditions in union law. So once again, stuck in the European Union law and helping to further the idea of having a European Union army. It seeks a pledge to participate in the European Union's civil protection mechanism, rather than the counterpart United Nations scheme. Under Article 130 of the transition deal, the UK is merely consulted about the management of the common fisheries policy, which means it gets to supply comments. It doesn't have any say in how our own fisheries will be administered. The UK does not, however, regain control of its fisheries during transition. And don't forget, this transition period could go on for 100 years. This is despite this being the default under international law, and specifically the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, which is the UNCLOS. See, the European Union know that if we were to properly leave the EU, we would have control over our seas under the United Nations Convention. So what they've said is, oh no, you can't have that. We're going to keep control of the seas. As fishing campaigners point out, since the UK does not regain management of its assets, the stocks can be bartered to the point of pillaging by council members without the UK even being in the room. This is the important thing. And this is just a deal that benefits the EU. Instead of us having any say in the EU, we have a small say now, we get to have no say in it whatsoever. We still pay out all this money. We're still tied up following their laws. We're still tied up opening up the borders and allowing everybody in, because that's what they've told us we have to do. I mean, this is absolute treason. Theresa May's name is Treason May. She has that name for a damn good reason. Now we come to immigration. Article 21 cross-references the 2004 Directive for the Safeguard System, which is for people to legally challenge being deported. So the biggest problem we have now with foreign criminals is that when we try to deport them, they use our legal system to protest against that. And we have to pay for all the legal aid. And of course, it takes years to do that. And it just delays them from being deported for such a long time that they don't bother with it. And instead of being taken out from that, instead of having to go along with that and actually being able to make our own laws, we're still going to be following it. So we're not going to be able to deport the foreign criminals. We're going to still be tied into paying for their appeals. Article 15 of that references a later Article 31 on judicial review. Presumably, therefore, UK courts during transition will still need to base their judgments on not only past but also emerging European Court of Justice case law. So just amazing, isn't it? So while any laws that the EU decides to change during the transition period, we have to follow them as well. We have to change our laws to go along with them. It's not like they're even going to draw a line under it when we leave. We're still going to have to carry on following laws that we have no say in. Article 22 provides for family rights. So relatives of those with residency rights also have work rights. So any foreigner can just come into Britain, if they've got a foreign relative in Britain, any foreigner can just come into the country and have the right to work here. No doubt at some point the statistics will arise on what that means for potential figures for ongoing visa-free access to the United Kingdom labour market. They may be very significant and have an impact on long-term immigration targets and with its visa allocations. So there's going to be no change on foreigners being able to say, well, I'm related to somebody in Britain. The human right to import all your thousands of black relatives into the country is going to continue. Article 4 requires the United Kingdom to ensure compliance with European Union rules. Parliament is required to pass laws to ensure public authorities and judges follow EU rules during transition, which, as we have seen, will be of elastic duration and could go on for the next 100 years. It means following European Court of Justice case law and concepts or provisions thereof, and it means UK judges must apply due regard to this. We might well counsel against anyone relying on a UK judge testing the prospect of divergence. Article 162 even gives the Commission the right to intervene and send legal opinions to judges when it doesn't want to turn up in person. So they can just send a note to the justice and say, well, you've got to change your judgment on that. You have to do what we say, not what British common law. And the thousands of years of British common law and the precedents that are set in that, you can't be following that. You've just got to follow what the European Union judges tell you to. Finally, the Luxembourg court's role remains paramount. Article 86 provides for continued jurisdiction during transition. New cases will still come under the CJEU procedures in the meantime. And Article 87 asserts CJEU supremacy over not only the UK judges, but also over the UK government transposing its EU obligations during transition and for 4 years afterwards. So the government is still beholden to the EU. And according to Theresa May, this is Brexit. This is real Brexit. This is what the people wanted. This is in the national interest. And she keeps saying it's not in the national interest. It's in the interest of the European Union. She is a traitor. She must step down. And we must have somebody that believes in Brexit leading the country. That's the only solution that I see. Will they do it? Who knows? It's all up in the air. This may all have changed by Monday. I pray that she does step down and that we do get a good leader of the country for once. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.